Hello, everyone, and welcome to A New Republic of the Heart, a guide to being the change for real live Q&A with Terry Patton. My name is Sherry, and I'm part of the Terry Patton support team. As we move into Q&A with Terry now, there are two ways to ask your question. To interact live, please click on the raise hand button in the upper left corner or the bottom of your Zoom window. Then Terry will call on you and will open your line. If you prefer to submit a written question, please use the Q&A button in the same area of your screen. For iPad and mobile app users, just tap your screen and you'll see the raise hand and Q&A buttons in the upper right. If you do choose to interact live, it's preferable if you use headphones or a headset to minimize background noise and to ensure the best quality sound and recording. We are open and ready to receive your questions and warmly invite you to raise your hand and begin sending us your questions now. Terry Patton is a philosopher, activist, consultant, coach, teacher, and social entrepreneur. He is the author of the best-selling book, A New Republic of the Heart, An Ethos for Revolutionaries, as well as Integral Life Practice, which he co-wrote with Ken Wilber and a core team at the Integral Institute. As a teacher, he created several acclaimed online courses, and he's guided circles of mutuality that focus on deep we space and relational work. Terry is the founder of the Beyond Awakening teleseminar series and Bay Area Integral. As a social entrepreneur, he founded the pioneering consciousness technology company, Tools for Exploration, and led the team at the HeartMath Institute that developed their first heart rate variability monitor. He co-leads initiatives in restorative redwood forestry, fossil fuel alternatives, and transforming collective trauma. And now, with pleasure, welcome, Terry.
Thank you so much. It's good to be here. So, I look forward to engaging with any of you who want to interact live, but some questions have come in writing, and I'll just dig right into those as we begin this session. One of the questions is, you seem to be suggesting that your book and course offer something profound and liberating that other spiritual teachings don't. What exactly is that? And why does it require deep study rather than just reading the book? Well, I am suggesting that, actually. there's a profundity to our total situation on many levels. When I was younger, I thought of that profundity having to do with the expansion of consciousness and the awakening to the divine nature of every single moment of experience. And over time, I came to recognize that there were a whole series of different kinds of awakenings that were possible. But of course, the book focuses especially on what time it is on the planet, on the fact that our awakenings in our blissful meditation rooms could be swamped by a landslide of mud or fire. Our world in very real way is burning. And so there's another kind of awakening. You know, it's conventionally talked about, we're getting woke, that it's time to get woke about various issues. People talk about getting woke to racism, or woke to white supremacy, or woke to our ecological predicament, or woke to the inherent contradictions of capitalism. It goes on and on. And in that sense, we're talking about a higher consciousness or a raising of consciousness in political terms, seeing systemic dynamics that are affecting us. And so what became obvious to me over time is no matter what group of people I was with, no matter what conversation I was engaging with, there were things to learn and areas of awakening, that the conversations I was interested in were always gathered around some core insight and some way of waking up to what's really happening. But it was extremely frustrating to me that each of those conversations very specifically left out other essential aspects of what I had been awakening to that felt especially important. So I've been for a long while, I simply contemplated those contradictions. But over time, I began to realize that my spiritual practice and even my intellectual rigor or my curiosity were drawing me toward more and more inclusive and more profound syntheses of a whole variety of key insights. And so what's been happening for the last 25 years is that synthesis has become more and more rich and more profound. In some ways, it's very intellectually sophisticated, and it includes these streams from evolutionary theory and systems theory and integral theory, and data from climate science and our ecological sciences. But in another way, it's been about the courage to face what's hard to face. So it's about depth. And my experience has been that all of us, anyone who would be considering working with me in this course or in any fashion, you're pretty awake to a lot of these dynamics. You take seriously what's happening on the planet. And in many respects, you've grappled with the emotional and psychological challenges of facing reality in a way that might go beyond what's common. I mean, we live in a society that's pretty much in denial. So we're all participating to some degree in some measure of awakening. But for us to knit together these many different kinds of awakening and to wake up to the profound existential authenticity and spiritual practice of all of this in a way that's coherent, that's different. And that does require a kind of deep study. In a sense, we all, if we really get the message, are being called to apprentice ourselves to a radically new stage of not just consciousness, but life and relationship to one another, to a new moment in the human story in which we're all called to graduate into something new. And that really requires getting down to it. So I think my book and course offer you a means to get into that in a whole new way. And this question asks about spiritual teachings specifically. And very often spiritual teachings help us rise up out of the sense of urgency in time and space. And yet we're at a time in which our spiritual awakening has to both liberate us from what's happening in time and space, as the traditional teachings do, and also liberate us into time and space. It's actually another stage on the journey of awakening. Dharma is evolving. This has been one of the most exciting discoveries we've had together over the last number of years, is this awakening to a more integral understanding of spirituality, a more evolutionary understanding of spirituality. And that involves being able to hold a much more complex understanding where we can have the radical liberating awakening to and as the awareness itself, the divine nature of every moment, and also awaken into the urgency of what's happening in time and space at the same time. And this is actually a curriculum of growth for each one of us. So we're able to dig into and find our way humanly, vulnerably, not pretending to be anything other than what we are, into that exploration of how we become that next level of human being. And that's something I think we're going to be able to do in this course in a way that I don't think you're going to find in other spiritual teachings. And that I think is really important if you really want to fully and truly wake up in a way that makes you so-called part of the solution rather than part of the problem. Even many very awake people on, in certain respects, are still kind of part of the problem of our current unsustainable relationship to all our experience. And if you really care to be awakened beyond that and to be the expression of the wholeness that is at the heart, known at the heart, the heart of reality, reclaiming and reasserting wholeness in the midst of this incredible crisis of corruption, fragmentation, stress, overcomplexification. This is a helping hand and an offer in a way of fellowship as we do that. Okay, well, here's another question. I'm attracted to this course, but I'm very busy and I'm going to have to miss many course sessions. So I'm not sure I'm really going to have time to do the course justice. What will be the benefit of taking the course under these circumstances? And that's a really good question. I'm glad you asked that. Thank you. Well, you have some choices about how you engage this course. As I was just saying, the essential nature of what we're doing together, the essential nature of this course, is so urgent that I think it's worth taking it in whatever way you can fit into your life. So let's talk about what that minimal level of engagement would be. You might sign up for this course and take it, and one thing you'll get immediately is an ability to listen to each chapter narrated by me, the early kind of pre-release of the audiobook, which won't be coming out until around the time this course is completing. And you'll also be able to listen or watch, whatever your preference is, to these course sessions and contemplate these questions. And it's a little bit like auditing a course. If your time is limited, you can just do that, and you're going to be taken on still on a profound educational and I think genuinely transformational journey. So that's entirely possible. And you can do that in your spare time. In that case, you wouldn't sign up for one of the groups. You would simply essentially audit this course on your own. And that's a legitimate option. And I think still a worthwhile choice, because it would give you an opportunity to be engaged in the deep study. By the way, this book, many of my, I've been getting emails and other communications. I've met people at conferences who've read the book, and many people have said to me that this book has so much richness in it that they've found it, they've wanted to not just read it, but reread it, to go back, to underline, to contemplate, because there are many insights that we're all aware of. You know, that not everything in this book is found only in this book, but they're connected by a whole series of new and important insights that make this a kind of multidimensional grokking of what's really going on, and a participation in the metabolizing of that, the combining of one's whole feeling being with that, such that we're drawn into a transformational process. And so if you are able to participate with a group and have these discussions, part of the value of being in a group partly is that you get to talk, and that as you express your own ways of understanding, your insights, the ways that you break through into a freer relationship to this. A lot of what this book will be about is an awakening to things that we usually frame as just being bad news, and recognizing, wait a second, this is the most exciting, you know, greatest story ever told, and we are getting to live it. And that sense of inspiration and calling and purpose and meaning and a basis for a different kind of fellowship, a different kind of co-creative engagement is just amazing. So you may just want to audit this, as I said, but if you do have the ability to dedicate some time so that you can meet regularly with another group of, you know, group of other students who are really going to be engaging this and engage these questions, it'll be a richer transformational experience. And you'll get a chance to do some of these practices of deeper intersubjectivity, where we go into the we space together. So the richest kind of engagement of this, the kind of the other side of the spectrum from just auditing it, would be not only to read it, but to listen to it also, to maybe even at the extreme end, you would even journal on some of these questions, as well as discuss them, as well as engage in activism. This is all happening right at the time of the midterm elections, which are important. So your engagement in actual in the system political activism, and perhaps some not so political, but, you know, other creative efforts that are going around the system, this integrates it. So it's not just subjective, but it's also your participation as a citizen who recognizes your opportunity and responsibility to be part of the wholeness that is so needed in this time of fragmentation. Okay. Oh, my favorite question. How do I find out more information and where do I register? Okay, yeah. We don't have one of those, you know, this, we're trying to do this in as professional a way as possible, but the best way is to just go to my website, terrypatton.com. And if you go there, just the main website, there's a panel that that shows my splash. It says it's game time on planet Earth. If you scroll down to the next frame, it says it's time for evolutionary action. And then you go a little further, and there's a panel about this course. So if you click there, you'll be taken to the actual course page. It has kind of a long URL. It's terrypatton.com. A New Republic of the Heart, Guide to Being the Change for Real, all kind of hyphenated. It's a little complicated. But if you click right there, you'll get into the course information page. And then if you scroll down, it's a long page because it describes everything. There are several places here where you can just click and register. But if you keep going down, you can see a deeper description of what's covered in each of the sessions as you go through the whole. It's now a 13-week course because I decided that the first session ought to focus on the introduction and give it its own week. So there are 11 chapters, and I wanted an extra chapter at the end to kind of sum up and integrate what we've gone through. So we'll go through all, on this page, you go through all of that, and again, at the bottom, you'll have another opportunity to register. So I hope that's helpful and answers that question. And here's another very practical question that I've been asked. I've reached out to some friends, but it's taking longer than I expected to get them to respond. And I'm not sure if I can organize a book study group to take the course. How long do I have to make this happen? Or how do you suggest that I deal with this? So, you know, we did decide that there were a couple of people who contacted us who wanted to take the course with a group of friends. And we offered some generous discounts to people who would do that because it's so aligned with my whole purpose in creating this book and this course. groups of friends, groups of activists, groups of people who are taking seriously our global citizenship in this crucial time, coming together to do this as a group, you know, just feels really right and feels really good. So some people have begun trying to do that. It isn't always instant that you get that to happen. Now you can get some discount even just by getting a couple of friends, a group as small as three people. So I hope some of you will be doing that. But if that doesn't work out, just sign up. We'll put you together with other people so that you can create a study group together. And I think, you know, we are already at the point where I hope you will be, you know, starting right now, reading the introduction of the book. We're going to be discussing the introduction in the first regular class session, which is next Wednesday. So starting in and getting into it without delay, highly recommended. Also, you know, all the those of you who are here live, I want to encourage you, please go ahead and raise your hand. I'd like to interact. I do have a series of questions here that have come in, and I do want to cover them, but I'd love to have a chance to talk directly with some of you. So please consider raising your hand. We'd love to hear your voice. So another question that's been asked. Why is this book and course different from other discussions of spiritually inspired social change work? Well, it certainly is sympathetic to other people who are involved in sacred activism or spiritual activism, people who are recognizing the inextricability of our inner lives and our outer lives, our inner responsibility, our inner commitment to something transformational and better in terms of our own way of being and our own consciousness, and are recognizing that we're not just separate individuals, that we're all together in a moment of transition. And we can frame that transition negatively because it's true. Time is, in a sense, running out for us to find our way to a radically new way of being. It's time for the whole human species to make a stage transition. And that stage transition is being forced on us in some ways. Our way of living on this planet is completely unsustainable. And there are wildfires right now raging, putting smoke in the air where I live. There are apocalyptic events all over the world, killer heat waves, and it's scary. On the other hand, it's inspiring. It's actually an incredible privilege that we're alive in this time when a stage transition to another level of human maturity is coming upon us. And most people aren't fully there. Most people are not waking up in this profound way and transforming. It's requiring individual spiritual practitioners like you and me to grasp the significance of this, to be among the early members of the human race who get it and who become kind of the leaders. If we just imagine on a systemic level how a transition to a new stage would take place, people would pop one by one into another frame of understanding. Now, it's not just a subjective thing. It's got to actually be also expressed culturally and socially. So when we find our way forward into this level of engagement with one another, something amazing begins to happen. We really do become evolution itself, choosing to incarnate new levels of awareness and care and able to comprehend the paradoxical complexity of life and expressing it in the way we communicate and relate to one another. And we begin to be participants at the leading edge of a profound stage transition in human evolution. And there isn't really anything that could be more profoundly inspiring, meaningful, ennobling. What a privilege. So I think other discussions of spiritually inspired social change work are awake to some of this. But I think that there's a level of nuance and a knitting together of a whole variety of profound spiritual and existential understandings, a knitting together of systems view and understanding the dynamics of game theory and neuroscience, and we're bridging into something new. And I think that this book and course will take you into a participatory engagement in that process that you just won't find anywhere else. And a community organized with these understandings has an opportunity to really be something different than we have seen before. So that's how this is different from others. Let's see. What first inspired you to create this course? What did you think it would do for people just beyond just reading the book? And somebody else asked, what's the point of taking this course if I've already read the book? And, you know, while I'm at it, I think I'll answer kind of a related question. Even if I haven't read the book, why should I take this course instead of just reading the book? Well, those are all legitimate questions. The course is going to give you an opportunity to, you know, to some degree, a book of this depth is really valuable when you are able to metabolize it and combine yourself with it. And there are aspects of what's here in this process that tend to go by us. That's why so many people have told me, man, this book is so valuable, I've gotten so much from it. And, you know, as soon as I finished it, I turned around and began rereading it because there's so much that I realized I need to expose myself to more than once. So there's an engagement, especially the repetition, the opportunity to do it with the audiobook as well as the reading of the words on the page, and the interaction with others, the chance to ask me questions, for us to go into an exploration of what it's like to really live this, coming up against the challenges that we all do. We're all human beings. You know, one of the things that I sometimes teach is the idea that all human beings, however apparently good looking or apparently dignified or apparently wise or knowledgeable, are cartoon characters. Every one of us in our own way is something of a caricature. And it's healthy for us to be able to laugh at ourselves. And yet all of us present ourselves as well as we can with a kind of dignity and so forth. And in a way, that's one of the most preposterous things about ourselves, our attempts to cover up the goofiness that is part of being a person. Well, there's an acceptance of our humanness and a dropping into the divine nature of this adventure, as, you know, as imperfect as we are, the very human process of awakening to the divine, utterly divine nature of everyone, of every moment of existence, of every aspect of our being, cartoon characters though we may be. And there's a a waking up to the nitty gritty, that there's a potential transformation through doing a course like this, where you become grounded. One of the things I sometimes talk about is how, you know, people are afraid to face the crisis that we're in. The unsustainability of human civilization is kind of terrifying. And so people often flinch and they don't even want to think about it. It seems like such a bummer. They find that a kind of terror rises up in them. And so they imagine that they're dealing with a choice between staying positive and hopeful or facing reality and becoming depressed. No. This is a developmental matter. And there is something to be gained if we face what we fear to face. And there's a kind of joy and a kind of meaning and a kind of purpose and a kind of power, an empowerment and a grounding of ourselves and a making of ourselves trustable friends to one another, capacity for a different kind of human relationship that's on the other side of an ordeal in which we face some things that we previously were afraid to face. Well, there's a profound difference between that, you might call it an optimism that was afraid to face the darkness, and the positivity, the light on the other side of the darkness. Well, this transition from the naive, immature positivity to that profound positivity, that is something I think everyone who takes this course and sincerely participates will find your way into. You'll find your way into a different level of ground and power and wisdom and goodness and a kind of courage and generosity that is able to meet what's best in others. So I think that's a big part of what the course can give you that you could slip past if you only read the book once. So I think that's one of the biggest reasons I was moved to offer this course. The other is, I think that meeting other people who are taking this seriously is also profoundly valuable. And I think the conversations that will emerge among us as we do this are going to be a source of, well, you know, to some degree, it will just make us feel better that we're in touch with all of that. But in another sense, it'll help us have a feeling for the very real human matter of doing this in the ways that human beings can do. I mean, who's going to rise to become the kinds of people that this emergency calls from? It's going to be ordinary people. It's going to be cartoon characters. It's going to be you and me. You know, take a mugshot of yourself exactly as you are. Foibled, imperfect people are going to find within themselves the integrity, the intelligence, the courage, the depth, the generosity of spirit to begin to be human differently and to make possible different kinds of human relationships. So that's a big piece of this. Okay. Let me look. I don't see anybody's hands up still. So that means if you were thinking maybe you would raise your hand, go ahead. People seem to be a little reluctant to ask questions. So maybe your thought that you maybe could raise your hand, you know, please take advantage of this opportunity. I don't see a hand up yet though. So I'll go back to the questions. Here's somebody, I would love to take this course, but I'm having a hard time financially and I don't know if I can afford it. Do you offer partial scholarships or discounts on the tuition for people like me who are in financial need? Well, if you're really in a tough spot, write to us. The best way to do that is to write to my assistant at replies@terrypatton.com. I have given everything I have to this work and invested my life savings and being the change, and in a way that is self-transcending. I'm not a rich guy and living in comfort and just kind of being a new age celebrity. So I do need your support. I hope you'll want to support this and you'll feel moved just spontaneously. Yeah, I'd like not only to get the benefit of this course, but I'd like Terry to keep doing this work, and I know he'll need support. So I hope you'll participate in this process and meet the generosity that I'm bringing to all of this work with your own generosity. But in that spirit, if you're really up against a limit and this is important to you and you want to participate in this course, just let me know. We'll just write to that replies email and we'll see if we can meet you halfway. All we'll have is partial scholarships, but if you let us know, we'll engage with you. Okay. Here's another question. I'm curious. Have you, those of you who are here live right now, read the book? If you've read the book, would you do me the favor of raising your hand? Thank you. Okay. I'm going to... and I think there's a hand raised, maybe with a live question. Yes, Oscar. Hi. Welcome. I think you're unmuted now. Oscar, go ahead and ask your question. Well, I'm not hearing anything from Oscar. Are you muted on your own end, Oscar? I don't know.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I just can't hear it.
Go ahead.
Okay. Yes. Oh, just wanted to call in with a unsolicited endorsement of your work and your course. I participated in the 9-month course, and just a tremendous amount of depth and sincerity on your part and on the others. But I don't know if you address this totally, but just the degree to which people are able to sincerely, including yourself, engage and share on this other level with each other. But I certainly did just want to just say, I having read your book and taken the other course, it's just phenomenal and nothing like I've seen, and I've seen a lot.
Thank you. Thanks so much. Nice to get an unsolicited endorsement.
You're welcome.
All right. Terrific. Take care. Okay. Another question has been written in. Let's see. By who? I see the question. How much is our military industrial technology responsible for climate change? If not wholly responsible, or at least partially. For example, the HAARP technology specifically. Okay, we don't have a first name for you. I guess your Zoom account is under the word owner. So thanks for that question. Well, I think that our military industrial technology is a big factor, and it's certainly a complicating and problematic additional factor. And I'm particularly disturbed by the HAARP technology. It's an electromagnetic weaponry technology that may be responsible for disturbing, there are several things. There's another different technology in the oceans, a sonar system that is nearly deafening to cetaceans, to whales and dolphins, and there are many seagoing creatures that use sound to communicate with one another and to have these, it's kind of a little bit like having the smoke alarm go off in your house, and yet we some of the military technologies broadcast that through the oceans and have even damaged the hearings of some of these large sea mammals. But the HARP technology is a different thing. It originates actually, I think it's in the Upper Peninsula of Michigan. It's a broadcast technology that's been deployed now for quite a while, 25 or 30 years. It's not even the state of the art. But I would say that our crisis is more fundamental than those things. I would say in a sense, no, even though those things are of concern to me and I've learned about them. That's why I recognize this question. I think they are significant, but I think that climate change is being caused, you know, by the emission of carbon into the atmosphere. And these military industrial technologies are adding to our ecological predicament, but they're not the primary or sole source of it. And the other reason I would direct your attention at something more general is we have a different relationship to the challenges of our ecological predicament when we look at the aspects of it that we too are causing. We have met the enemy and he is us. And our recognition of our own participation, how we are co-creating this unsustainability, is essential. Because what is ahead for us, and what I clarify in the book, is a transformation of our inner lives, our relationships with each other, our families, our organizations, our communities, our nations, our politics, our economics, our healthcare system, our education system, our transportation systems. Everything. It's a whole systems transformation. And the more we see and focus on the things that the other guy is doing, the less we notice the three fingers that, you know, when you point at someone else, three fingers are pointing back at you. We need to model this transformation. We need to have the courage to find our way into a whole new way of being. So I wouldn't focus on those to the exclusion of a real soul searching and a participation in becoming the kind of human being who could turn this around if it can be turned around. That's who we need to become. And then there's a question, I'd love to join, but I'm financially limited. The course starts right when my rent is due. If I catch up and find extra money, can I join later in the course? Well, I'd encourage you to write in and make a commitment to making payments at a certain schedule so that you can participate from the beginning, and certainly get a copy of the book and start reading it. Read the introduction by next Wednesday in 4 days or 5 days, and make another, and then make sure to read chapter one. We're accepting registration, I think, until September 4th. So be in touch with us about that and make a commitment. Yes. Here's another question. Actually, there are a couple of questions that came in. One of them was, why is this book and course different from other? No, that wasn't the one. Let's see. There was a second question similar to this one. If things are as urgent as you say they are, shouldn't I just be focusing my efforts on political activism relating to the 2018 midterms and the climate emergency? Why should I be taking this course in the midst of all the events that are happening in the outer world? Well, I think that electing people who will provide a check and balance on public corruption is super important, but it isn't going to solve all our problems. We are up against the civilizational emergency that's much deeper and more wide-ranging than the things that we can solve with the kinds of political activism we know how to engage. That means it's super important to engage political activism. And I'll be asking you in the course to participate in various ways so that you become an activist. It's by doing both the inner work and the outer work that we validate and, in a sense, earn our own self-respect and become together a community of practice, of practicing both the interior and the exterior forms of being the change. But to just engage activism is to fall into the pattern that our whole activist community is in, where people are being drained by their activism, are becoming more distraught, are getting, you know, the constant conversation among activists is burnout. Well, we have to transform our activism so that it feeds us, so that we become friends in a different way, and so that we engage the things that we do to make a difference in the outer world in a way that feeds our own growth and our own joy and our own self-respect. And we become this next stage of human beings. Learning how to do that is crucial. And that's the kind of thing we'll be engaging in the course. That's part of why the course is of value, even though I am glad that you're asking a question where you're aware of how important it is for you to engage activism. Good. But it's important not just to engage activism, but to become the change you want to see in the world. And right now, what our world requires is more than just a bunch of people being nice and sweet and loving. It's a matter of people being more capable of being able to speak with a different kind of authority. Love needs to speak with a voice of authority that is heard, not the old model of powerful voices, which usually express a kind of explicit or implicit anger or ferocity that's intended to induce fear and submission in others. Love calls at a different level, and it calls two different faculties in other people. That's what we need to begin activating. So I will be engaging you in social activism during the course and helping you to find your way into sustainable ways of being an activist even as you're taking the course. And I hope that's going to be a source of meaning and value. Now, here's another question. I've read your book and I've heard you say very directly that you're most interested in breaking out of the whole paradigm of transformational teachings. But this course, focused on your book, seems very much like other online transformational courses. How is it congruent with your desire to transform the whole paradigm of your work to offer and market this course? Wow, that's a very deep question, and I like it. Yes, it's true. I have for many years made my living as a coach and a teacher and a speaker, you know, someone who's helping others who are on the path move ahead, deepen, have a freer, fuller, more intelligent relationship to their own awakening and their own growth and their own becoming of who they are born to be, to realize their soul's purpose in this world. And there's something been very fulfilling about that, and I've liked it. But given the nature of the emergency on the planet, I'm no longer interested in that, because that is something that we do in the way. It's like our hobby is to grow. We're middle class citizens of reasonably prosperous Western democracies. And a part of the way we make our lives even nicer is that we have intellectual understandings, and we have spiritual depth, and these are kind of part of makes us a more interesting or more deep individual. And we've got to break out of that whole pattern. And just marketing ways to help people feel like they're growing more, they're more awake, or they're, you know, or, and some of the offerings will help you meet your soulmate or help you make money doing meaningful work or whatever. But all those things are directed at egoic motives. And I'm really interested in that part of you that is more than merely selfish. That part of you that is recognizing, whoa, it's game time on planet Earth. I need to step forward as one of the people who is becoming a new kind of adult who can begin to take responsibility for a different way of being a person in this world. That's what this book was written to serve, and that's what this course is written to serve, or written, being created, being engaged in order to help you realize. So I'm interested to shift my relationship from teacher-student or coach and client to colleague. I'm interested in that part of you that is emerging into a different level of capacity and responsibility. So I am interested to break through to something new. And in addition to offering this course, I'm going to be offering a nonprofit entity, and there'll be volunteer opportunities. And I'm interested in partnership. I'm interested in fellows who are interested to co-create something more adequate. But the we need an educational foundation. We need to have some shared understandings. We actually do need to develop the kind of human being who can be taking this responsibility is a little above our pay grade. I am having to grow to become adequate to being a part of this. This new republic of the heart is, it's like the Sangha, you know, Thich Nhat Hanh said the next Buddha may very well be a Sangha, the next great enlightened one who can lead us into a new level of freedom, maybe a community of practitioners. The profundity of the social transformation that lies ahead of us is so much more than, you know, Dr. King worked a great transformation in the civil rights movement, Gandhi in India during independence from British colonialism, Nelson Mandela during the end of apartheid, a whole social movement turned around a charismatic and profoundly beautiful individual. Well, we're going to need a profoundly beautiful community of practitioners to turn this around, and a network of such communities, becoming capable of being the kind of citizen, a friend, fellow with other people who can actually turn that corner. That's the task ahead of us. And this course is a way of helping us get the educational foundation so we can do it. But the work I want to do ultimately is not so much work as a teacher. It's work as a fellow citizen of a new republic of the heart, someone who's helping us, helping others, and engaging with others to help many, many others to become this change we want to see in the world and enact a different, you know, in a sense, it is a revolution of love, but it's a revolution of very intelligent love. It's adult development. It's a new stage of growth in our consciousness and our behavior. Now looking, another question about the HAARP system. It's now installed in many places on the planet. Is there not a danger of reducing the cause of climate change down to human behavior without taking more of a closer look at larger causes? There are now fluctuations in the geomagnetic sphere that lead to some geophysicists to rethink what were originally believed to be the causes. Pointing the finger at people in general diverts attention from those forces of high-tech disruption that are far more detrimental to our survival. Well, maybe you have something to teach me about some aspects of what's going on with HAARP. I've been alarmed at it too, but I think there are many destabilizations of previous balance points that are of concern. But I think that the most important thing is to look in the mirror, you know, like Michael Jackson's song. If you want to make the world a better place, take a look at yourself and make a change. We've got to be doing that and doing that together in a very powerful way. And then our understanding of the particular really ugly things that need to be countered will be framed in a community of virtue that's of a whole different kind. Okay, here's a long question. Oh, I see. I don't have to read it all. from Marjorie. My question has to do with finding our specific ways in which we can be of service to others and find our purpose as to how to be a sacred activist during these times. I've been considering this question for quite some time, and I've come to an understanding that the best way I can be of service to others is to make sure that I have my own affairs in order. I'm still working on myself as an individual person in regards to leftover issues from the past that seem to be persistently a part of my present moment. And I've also come to an understanding that some of those issues may or may not ever be fully resolved. However, I'm dedicated to doing my part to contribute to wholeness and healing for all. Well, that's great. And I'm glad you'll be part of the course, Marjorie, and finding your specific ways that you can be of service to others is something we will be doing more and more of in the time ahead. And I think the course will be fruitful for you in exactly those ways. Aileen asks, do I have participants in Ontario, Canada, in the Toronto area? I'm not sure yet, actually, Aileen, but we will be sending, if you sign up for the course and you fill out, we'll be sending you a survey and you fill it out. We'll be able to connect you with people who are available to have meetings at the same time you are, and hopefully there'll be some people close to you. I hope we will. Okay, to complete, I just want to extend a personal invitation to you. I hope you'll decide to participate in this course with me. We are all sleepwalking. Very few of us are waking up and becoming different kinds of people. This course will be an opportunity for you to be accompanied by a group of people who will do something genuinely different. I think this is inspiring and exciting. It's different from any of the courses I've ever offered before. Whatever you've done with me in the past, however wonderful and transformational it may have been, this is a new and different opportunity. So I hope you'll go to terrypatton.com and scroll down to that third panel, or you can click the link and go over to the course page for this opportunity. And I hope you'll sign up soon and engage it with me. And that we'll become a community of practitioners who study this book and combine ourselves with it in a deep way that will enable us to transform our whole relationship to our experience and to the emergency on the planet, such that we earn our self-respect and we become examples of what we want to see in the world. So thank you so much for joining me. I think we're here pretty close to the end. Let me offer a little prayer. May you be richly blessed by the mysterious source of grace. Into every one of our lives, there are unaccountable blessings that come from we know not where. We do not know where it is that these chance meetings with good people come, where these insights come, where our creative ideas come, where our art or other forms of creativity come from. It's a mystery. And this moment, every moment, is the source of that mystery. And in this wild moment, all of us are present at a time when human evolution is turning a critical corner, and we have an opportunity to be the ones who turn that corner consciously and become the ones we've been waiting for. May we be blessed to redeem that promise. May we be given the strength and the humor and the joy that lets us find our way into a whole new way of being human. Thank you. May you be richly blessed.